Welcome to the N1 Podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Five for Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson coming to you from my home office and not from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub, although I miss it very, very much. But today I am super excited to introduce you to our guest, and she is a great member of our team in the MBA program, Dr. Jane Layton. So Jane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Though I do miss the podcast too. I never did get a chance to go in there. Have to do a redo.
Well, we will, because from what I am hearing, the room is getting a little bit of a makeover. So I'm a little excited about it, because those of you that know me know that I love purple, and Jane actually loves purple too. So I'm going to speak for Jane, and we're going to paint the walls purple. So,
oh wow,
that's I know the Pfeiffers are going to be really excited to see the upgrade. So we're going to be official with purple walls and have kind of signage and all the fun stuff once we get back and roll in.
Oh, so I can't wait to see that. That'll be great.
Yeah. So Jane is our academic program director for the MBA program and plays a huge role in so many things. And I'm going to try and outline a few of those, and then I'm going to let you tell us more about yourself. But you are involved with everything from scheduling the courses, developing programs. For those of you that are in the business analytics program, entrepreneurship program, you all can thank Jane, because she's pushed those through and got those approved. International programming. So you've been a huge advocate for our students to gain international opportunities, whether that be over spring break, fall break, the Oxford program over the summer. So really building those types of programs. And you're also involved in our rankings and accreditation. So your job is very important to us staying afloat and staying relevant in the business world. What did I miss?
No, I think you got that. You got all that.
So tell us your backstory. I know your backstory. You have a background in finance, but how did you end up at Clemson?
You know, it's really interesting. So, I graduated actually from College of Charleston, and my dream job was in investments. I had an investment class as my international business major, and I always wanted to do something in the investment world. Right after that, I did enter the investment industry and work there out of Atlanta, in Buckhead, Atlanta, Georgia, and really enjoyed it. And I started pursuing my MBA, and my personal life brought me back to Greenville. And I needed to transfer my MBA program. But, you know, one of the things, so I transferred to Clemson, and that's how I got involved with Clemson MBA. I finished my MBA program here. At Clemson, and I'm very familiar with all, you know, our entire curriculum. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, so I pursued the investment world and really enjoyed that, enjoyed being part of the corporate environment also. And then started a family. And, you know, I think one of the main things for me was I always stayed in touch with the MBA program. So I attended all the alumni events, and I think at the time we had bartender at Sobeys or something. Yeah.
I think I was bartending. I got in trouble for happy pouring, I think, for people.
Great. So yeah, so my husband and I stayed connected with that. And I had just mentioned that, you know what, I'm thinking about leaving the corporate world. You know, I was looking for something that was a little bit different, but was still really interesting in strategy and unique, you know, and for everyday kind of work life. And so I think Gail at the time said that, hey, I think there's this position available. Why don't you apply? And I remember when I applied and walked away, came home, I was like, there's no way, they'll never hire me. So I was so excited. I was really excited to join the team, and oh my gosh, what a great team, a great environment. It was back when we were at the Bowater building still too. So that's how I joined the MBA program, and And I just, you know, honestly, it was so exciting for me because I went through the program and I felt really connected to it. And I felt like I knew it from a student perspective. So it would have been, it was really interesting for me to see how I could contribute to it from a staff perspective too, you know, we could do to grow the program and make it better. So yeah, that was my involvement for the MBA.
Well, I love that you gave the plug of staying engaged as an alum, because I think that's a huge piece for a lot of our alums, and they've realized that the network is just so strong and the ability to connect and continue to grow through using that network is so huge. But so when you, as a student, obviously you were in the MBA corporate program and the programs have grown a lot really since you've joined us. And to think, you know, at that time, you were a part of that group that was one of the first groups in Greenville. So to look back, what does that feel like? To look back and think like, wow, like 10 years ago, this was an experiment to see if this was going to work. And fast forward 10 years and the program has just grown leaps and bounds. We've added so many options for the students. We've supported so many people. What does that feel like?
Huge pride. I would say just really, really proud of the degree that's hanging in my office, you know, and huge pride to talk about our Clemson program and really just the entire. So I used to think this whole like cliche of the Clemson family situation, you know, I'm not a Clemson, I wasn't bred, you know, Clemson fan, but I will tell you, it's true in the sense that, you know, we're still very connected with our friends that went through the MBA program back then. We have friends that are in the MBA program now. And, you know, to see us, you know, we remember back being in that university center, that's where our classes were held at, you know, and even then we thought this is awesome, you know, so you never, and then from there it was Bowater building. And then now this incredible, incredible state-of-the-art facility that we all have a huge fortune to work out of and for our students to go to class. And I, you know, genuine pride for the accomplishments. And, you know, the quality has just continued to grow in terms of both the experience, but the classroom experience, the content that our faculty bring to the classroom, the connection to real life experience. I think that our professors, our faculty, our lecturers, they all feel very strongly about connecting the content that is taught to the students, connecting it back to real world and giving students that skill set that they need to go apply it tomorrow, you know, and see what those results will be and come back and either challenge or share successes. And I think that that's what makes our program so unique. And the building is beautiful. Building is fantastic. But I also think that the meats and potatoes of the program is what really just makes me really proud of it, to be working there, but also have a degree from it. It's very personal to me.
Well, yeah, and so you're involved on both the faculty side and the program development side. So talk to me about developing different programs and what that looks like for you. Do you focus on kind of talking to people in the corporate world, or what? Walk us through what that looks like in terms of, okay, I want to build a program in X. Go.
Absolutely. So again, going back to that combination of having, you know, corporate background, being a student first, and then being, you know, on the other side of the program, the number one, the very first thing that stands out is there a skill set that is needed in the workforce right now? You know, from a manager, is there a skill set that is needed but is not being taught? And what is that skill set? So we start kind of having conversations. So first we find out from students, what is it that they're lacking, that they want to have? Then we go to corporations. We start having conversations with our corporate partners. And, you know, I'll use business analytics, for example. We had over 30 corporate partners at the table that we invited, and we had kind of like a think tank session. We had faculty from main campus, our MBA faculty, that, you know, from management that are involved in business analytics as well, came in and we had this conversation. You know, Dr. Pickett was there, the head of our program, And we had this kind of conversation of just what is the corporate world missing? What are they looking for? What are they struggling? The skill set that they're struggling to hire, or their field that they're missing. And then what does the academic side have? What are the strength sets that Clemson has that we could contribute to that? And then aside from that, the business analytics, for example, concentration was born out of. And so even we took it a step further. Then we went and identified specific courses based on what our faculty suggested, based on the feedback from corporate, based on what other programs were doing across the nation and the world, really. And once we identified those courses, we sent those to the corporate partners that were there and shared those with them and said, hey, if those individuals that you're looking to hire went through this particular program, would you say that they would have the skill sets that you're looking for? And once they gave us that kind of, you know, okay, or they gave us some feedback, what to tweak, we went forth and started developing that program, developing the curriculum, working very closely with faculty on specific topics that needed to be taught in those courses. And at the end of all of that, again, what was really emphasized was we need this to be applicable to the real world. So yes, it's great that they're working on the skill sets, but how can they practice those skill sets while they're in the program so that they can have something at the end that they can write on the resume to say, I worked on this real life project. And that's where our capstone class at the end of the concentration was born out of. And it's the same for entrepreneurship. You know, students in our entrepreneurial program have to do an innovation at work. The corporate students and the students that are launching their own business have to actually present their business ideas. So any program that we have, we want the students not to just learn that skill set, but we want them to practice it in a real life setting and then bring it back. And so that's essentially how it's born. And then of course we go through all the approval processes, and then, you know, the state has to say, but I will tell you, you know, one of the best things that I've heard was we were presenting the business analytics to the state of South Carolina to get their approval for Clemson to launch it. And they emphasized our process as an example for other schools to follow, because it wasn't just, you know, a random idea that we woke up with. It was through thorough research and getting the right individuals, you know, to make sure that what we're creating was meaningful.
It's really interesting that you do have those partnerships with the corporations, because just as business analytics as an example, it's ever changing and growing and evolving. And me not being a numbers person, you know, I appreciate all of the software that's available. And I think when we started out, it was Python was the big thing, and then Tableau, and it's continuing to change. So how do you continue to grow and evolve with this changing technology?
Yeah, we stay very closely connected to, again, the corporate partners, you know, to our students. We get our student feedback every single semester. You know, we connect with students, we connect with faculty. We ask our faculty who are doing groundbreaking research to see what is out there, what's new that they're seeing that we should introduce. And you know what? And sometimes they see something coming before the corporate world has adopted it. So we're able to introduce it into our classrooms before our students are even seeing their companies asking for it. So it gives them that head start to present something and start using particular tool that could be new to their organization and help them get, you know, ahead of their competition. So we stay very connected, and that's where, you know, the relationship building, relationship maintaining is so important. Not, you know, it's not just from a friendship perspective, which is really nice, but always you can hear something that you didn't think about from someone who's been exposed to it, to start applying it to your organization or to your program, or you know, to help you get ahead of everybody else. It's that extra that extra benefit that you can have against the competition, which is, I think, great for everybody, from an individual all the way up to a corporation. So
you should be super proud of the online program that I want to talk about really quickly, because I mean, we officially launched the online program last fall. We've kind of been piloting for a little bit, but to find ourselves in the situation that we're currently in, where 1 week we're in Clemson, you know, we're in Greenville, Clemson students are consuming their education per usual. And then over the weekend, we have to flip. Everybody has to flip to an online platform. And the beauty of it was, thanks to our online program and the research that we've done and all the work that has been put into place, it was an easy switch and flip for us, thankfully, where I feel like our students had the opportunity to not skip a beat. And something we both are in the classroom as instructors, and something that I know I worried about when we were first launching the online was this Clemson experience, right? I think everybody, like you talked about, the Clemson family. So you feel something when you're in the classroom with each other and you build this network. And I know we were both thinking, well, how are we going to translate this to an online situation? But it has magically worked. How do you think? How do you think that that has translated so well that our online students are really able to have this quote unquote Clemson experience, but could be potentially anywhere in the world?
Yeah. You know, I will tell you, it is our team. It's our entire team that, for I think all of us, and I'll speak for all of us to say that it has always, from day one and always will be, customer experience first. I don't know another group of people that care more about the well-being of all of our students from all walks of life and all challenges and benefits and everything possible, you know, the success that we want our students to have all around, not just academic success, but classroom student experience success, alumni success, you know, networking success, finding jobs, all of it, changing careers, really honestly, you know, personal advising at all times of day and weekend. I mean, it's always there, and I think it will always be there. So I think our faculty, I had a professor that offered, reached out and said that they offered their house to, you know, a vacant house to a student that was affected by a tornado that went through and destroyed their property. I mean, I think our faculty, staff, and really our team are so, so focused first and foremost on the success of our students. And from that, it's a trickle down effect of everything we do, from the experience in the classroom to the personal, you know, experiences of phone calls and having Zoom calls or WebEx team calls or whatever, you know, at any time. I think that translates, and it creates this feeling of the students know that we're here for them. We will always be here for them, regardless of the craziness that's going on outside. And we will do everything in our personal best to help them be successful. And I think that, you know, we started the online program before all of this happened, but the idea of wanting this to be the best experience possible without losing the desire for the students who are somewhere far away from the physical classroom, without them, without losing that feeling of they're still part of this classroom. We care about them just as much as the students that are walking in our hallways. And that's how I think we created this experience. And I'll tell you, you know, it definitely helps to have a marketing person as the head of the MBA program. You know, he was always driving that from the very beginning. He always said, you know, whatever we create as the online experience, the students that are online have to feel that they're part of this program. And, you know, we worked really hard with our technology partners from Clemson Online to CCIT to everybody in between to put together hardware, software, and then the people skills were already always there, you know, from our staff and faculty. So, yeah, it just, you know, it's years in the making. It wasn't overnight. But I think that the passion that all of us feel for our students and our desire for their success just helped the transition that much smoother.
Yeah, it's amazingly smooth. So I'm definitely thankful for that. I know Zoom and WebEx have definitely been getting their fair share of extra business during this time, for sure. And I've been so thankful that it's working, because it does make a difference to be able to kind of still connect and see people. And again, I think the beauty of the online program too is that you know, you can be in California and your professor is going to set up a meeting where they can see you and talk to you and answer your questions face to face. And that does matter. You know, we've always kind of had this mindset of we don't want our students to ever feel like a number as we continue to grow. And it's been really cool to watch what you all have built on the online side be so successful and people kind of walk away with such a great experience. So I know another passion of yours, obviously you have an undergrad in international business. So international travel and learning, study abroad, all of that I know is a huge passion of yours. So talk to us about developing the Oxford program and some of the other study abroad programs. For any of you out there, if you talk to any of our students, and we've done a podcast featuring some of the students that have traveled to Oxford, but if, mostly if you ask anybody, what was the best part of your program? It's that Oxford study abroad. They have the most amazing experience, and it's not just the traveling abroad. It's the real world consulting project with companies in the UK that's amazing. So how did that come about, and how do you plan, how do you start planning something like that?
Oh my gosh, Oxford, yeah. I mean, it's just the name in itself, you know, is amazing. Yeah, you know, again, relationships and partnerships, it all started with, you know, we have a fantastic professor, Judson Jan, who teaches several classes for us, but he had a partnership with Oxford a while ago, and he started an undergraduate study abroad within the accounting department. And so he just approached me and he said, hey, just come out and see if there are any opportunities that we can start out of this. And so I did. I went, oh my gosh, now it's been, what, 7 years? 6 or 7? It's been a long time.
It's crazy that it's been that many. That's awesome.
I think it was, because this would have been the 6th year, I think, for Oxford. So it was about 7 years ago. And we met with Dr. Ken Addison, who's the head of their summer program there in Oxford. And so talked about kind of the experience. And again, going back to the original message of the drive has always been for the MBA students is one, give them a skill set that will be a differentiator for them in the workplace, but also give them an experience where they can apply those skill sets as they're learning so that they can not just learn it, you know, mentally, but actually get to practice it so they can apply it better and really stand out in the workforce. And so the idea came out of it was in addition to being exposed to a different culture, which by the way, even though it's Great Britain and they speak English, it helps them kind of make that leap, you know, into that. So in addition to learning about skills, international business and cultures, and you know, how cultures contribute to our success in the workforce, or really understanding the different cultures and how they influence our decision-making and our behaviors, you know, we have international business strategy. How can you move a company across borders, and how can you be successful in that? And what we do is to practice those skills. So those are the skill sets that will help you be a differentiator. How we put those into practice is our students do projects for companies, so consulting type projects for 4 different companies. And honestly, every single year, my most proud moment is seeing those students present those projects and getting feedback from the company saying that our students, our Clemson MBA students, are better than the interns that they get internally, you know, domestically. It is so wonderful. And, you know, part of it too is a different perspective, you know, different practices, different business mindset, and our students bring that to the table. And I think that the background, the other classes that they take in the MBA program give them that edge to be able to really bring a robust project. And the professor who's leading that too has direct experience, which is, you know, which is definitely helpful. So that really was kind of born out of it. Again, with a skill set that was a differentiator, wanted something that they could actually put on a resume that they practiced it. They didn't just talk about it in the classroom. They actually put it into practice. And then, you know, Oxford was kind enough to offer a certificate, to issue a certificate at the end of it. So there's actually a piece of paper that looks like our diplomas, which is really, you know, really nice. But yeah, the reason for me it is a passion is we live in a global environment. I don't think there's even such a thing as international business anymore. It's just business, You know, you don't have to even leave South Carolina. You don't have to leave Greenville, and you still touch international companies. You touch people from all walks of life, all cultures, kind of background, languages. I mean, go to any grocery store, go downtown Greenville, maybe not today, but, you know, it was okay to walk around downtown Greenville. You'll hear all the different languages. And I think it's our students that are studying business not to have exposure to anything, to other cultures, to understanding of how other businesses can, what's important to them, how, what do they emphasize, how do they create partnerships, what are the challenges that they face within, let's say, European Union, or working with Asian countries, and do they have challenges trying to come to United States and be partners with US-based companies, and vice versa. So having at least a small understanding of the conversations that companies have over the ocean that may not be happening here, I think is a huge advantage to them in their own workforce, and both getting promoted within their companies, but then for students that are just starting their careers, getting that foot in the door. And in addition to just understanding that comfort of traveling abroad, you know, some students have never been, and we ask them, they have to get their own ticket to Oxford. They have, I try to help them out with, you know, say, here's the actual bus you should sign up to, but you know, they have to navigate that themselves, getting on the bus, getting to Oxford, and dealing with, you know, going to the grocery store there if they needed to, if they wanted to, and the, you know, food is provided for them in Magdalen College, but it's a different experience. And many students like to travel in between. So it's, you know, it's definitely in addition to actual skill sets, that cultural exposure and understanding and comfort of going abroad and maneuvering various countries abroad is definitely, I think, is a huge benefit.
Because you're already over there, why not? With the weekend in between. I always love hearing the trips that people take in between. And it's like, wow. Because again, once you're over there, it's such easy access to some really cool places. So I know that our students have had an awesome time. But I love what you say about them kind of figuring it out too on their own, because that is such a piece of study abroad, is kind of putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation that you're not, and I shouldn't say uncomfortable, but just unfamiliar situation, and figuring it out. And it really helps with resilience going forward. And I also love the fact that you say it's no such thing really anymore as international business. It's just business. And obviously with what's going on right now, what do you think is going to change going forward with business travel, now that we've all become so comfortable with, you know, video calls kind of being the new normal? What are your thoughts on how that might change going forward if you had a crystal ball?
Sure. Yeah. You know, honestly, I've been thinking, I think the current pandemic has not just had an impact on the United States. You know, it would be unique if it only touched our country, but it has touched the world. And just like anything else, I think partnerships across all the countries, European Union, Asia, literally the world, with the United States and companies working together and helping each other repair businesses, opening up that line of, you know, both production or purchasing. I mean, really honestly, finding ways to collaborate and help each other, because I think that it's, you know, in business, there's always a competition, and I love competition. I think a healthy competition is fantastic. But I think in this, the competition can also be a partnership. And I think that if all of our economies are stronger, all of us can benefit from it. I think that everyone has a piece of a pie. And I think that global or international business is a sexy word, but honestly, just global relationship, collaboration, supporting each other, and supporting even from the information standpoint too. You know, I think that's going to help businesses grow. I think that's going to help restore everybody's economies at a certain point. And I think that if now more than ever, we need to be more understanding and aware of other cultures, of other, you know, way of doing business, and sensitivity to various I mean, really, honestly, anything, who's more sensitive to travel if we're not able to travel? You know, how can we solve for that? Will business partners be able to hop on a plane and go over and start having a face-to-face relationship? I know so many cultures depend on being close by and building those relationships. You know, if that's now not physically possible, can those cultures adapt? You know, can we adapt to maybe taking a little bit of a slower pace to build relationships remotely? And can other cultures adapt to having to build relationships, not having physically spent time together? You know, trust, that's got to be part of that as well. And really understanding of where can some of the companies in the United States support those abroad and vice versa, you know? So yeah, I think culture, I think global business is more important than ever as the entire world is trying to deal with this pandemic and the repercussions of how it's affecting everybody's well-being and as well as the economy, you know, financial and physical well-being. So yeah, I think that it's a very much an important time to continue that understanding and reaching out. And we have a lot of international classes that are not necessarily requiring, you know, a physical trip abroad to get that understanding of cultures, get that understanding of how to do business abroad and how to recover if something goes wrong internationally. How can you help your business hedge against that too? So.
Absolutely. This is so not a fair question to ask you, but I'm going to ask it anyway. But you have traveled all over the world.
Yeah.
So if you had to choose your favorite place of all the places that you've been able to travel to, what would it be? And I know this is not a fair question.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that is such a difficult question. Okay, so I will say my hometown, St. Petersburg, Russia, is probably still one of the most beautiful cities that I have ever been to. This is so unfair. So I'm not playing favorites. I love them all. But I would say Budapest, Hungary is probably my next favorite. And honestly, I don't know. There is this... you know, probably at this point, I probably have an attachment to Oxford as a city. And I just, you feel so smart when you're there. It is such a, it is a special place all around. You just, you know, the history that's there, there's so much history in Europe in general, but the history of the brain power that's there, you know, and it's small compared to some of the other larger cities, much bigger than you think it is, but it's still a small town, a small city. But every building, every step, you feel the brain power that has walked those streets, that has eaten in some of those pubs, that has, you know, studied in the classrooms that we're studying. So that's probably from just that feel, you know. But Italy in general is a country. I love Italy. I had a few opportunities to go visit, and just as a country, you know, I won't even pinpoint some of the cities there, but, you know, food, visually, culturally, history, I mean, it's language, just all overall is probably my top five for sure.
I'm reading a Leonardo da Vinci biography right now, and it's not good because I just want to go to Florence. It's just like, oh my gosh, I want to go to Florence during the Renaissance era, really, but that's impossible.
Yeah.
But you gave me a perfect segue because you said that, you know, just being in Oxford makes you feel smart, but you are smart because I need to give you props. You just graduated last December with your PhD.
Oh,
so congratulations, first
Thank
of all,
you.
Because I think it's amazing, but it's more amazing to me because I've watched you juggle all of the things that you're juggling between work and family and school. And so fill us in on what that experience was like for you. I'm sure it was just, you know, do you even feel like it's over?
No, right? You know, no, it's really funny. The other day, I kid you not, you know, we're all quarantined, so we're at the house. I say sometime last week we were sitting in the kitchen table and the kids were doing whatever and it just hit me like, hey, I got my doctorate. And, you know, it was 4.5 years in the making, and it was definitely not easy. It was not easy. But I have a mentality where I think that days go by anyway, years go by anyway. And I'm a firm believer in what are you going to do with those days, those moments, you know? Are things going to be challenging? Absolutely. Is our cup going to be filled and it's spilling over? Yeah, absolutely. Completely. All of us, I feel, are in that position. I don't think none of them are so bored out of their mind. That's why they decided to add something to their plate. I just think that, you know, I took it a day at a time. There were definitely moments, many, many moments where I felt extremely overwhelmed. And I felt like I don't think that I'm going to be able to finish this. This is so hard. You know, my kids, my little guy, I think I told you one time, told me, he's like, I don't want you to be a doctor. I just want you to be a mommy. And it just, so little. So he probably didn't even know what he was saying, but it stuck with me. And, and I just told myself, you know what, one assignment at a time, one day at a time. And all of that, I will say, I didn't do it by myself at all. You know, yeah, did I do the assignments by myself? Sure. But I had support. I had support from my spouse. I had support from my parents. I had support from my work family. I don't know how many times when you guys knew that I had a deadline that you guys will say, whatever you need, just let us know. We'll help you, you know. And having that emotional support and knowing that you have a safety net of people there that will help you carry you through those really difficult times was really meaningful to me and really, really helped me get through all of that. And, you know, I had health issues in the family, as you know, to deal through all of that stuff. And there's, you know, hospital surgeries, all kinds of different things. My spouse travels a lot, but I will say, you know, he's probably one of my biggest support person. I mean, he had always just said, you do what you need to do. And I've got you. And that, you know, people say it takes a village. Again, one of those coin phrases, I guess, but it, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why people have said that, because it does. And I think, one of the things that I tell our students to that find themselves in really difficult situations is lean on the people that are offering help. Lean. There's no shame in leaning on people for support. It will help you. And that's what those people are there for. That's what we're there for them, is lean on us. We're offering it because we can, and you should take advantage of it. It doesn't make anybody weak for doing that. And, and have I had to withdraw from a class or two in order because I had some really difficult semester and I knew that I wasn't performing at my best for those classes? Yeah, I've had to do that and retake them at a different time and finish those successfully. I had to do that. And I still finished. I still graduated and took great pride in finishing it. So, yeah, with huge support and just taking one assignment one day at a time. But thank you for the shout out. It's definitely a very meaningful experience for me, for sure.
Yeah, like you said, the support was huge. But our team in general, I mean, I don't know a group that was more excited to call you doctor. I mean, the second it happened, I remember we had a call with somebody and I was like, I'm here with Dr. Layton. And you just kind of looked at me and I was like, no,
I remember.
That's your name now.
It doesn't get old. I appreciate it. You guys always make sure that, and you know, it definitely is. It's a wonderful feeling. And you forget, you know, you go through all of that and, you know, okay, so it's the next day. And for someone to remind you to, you know, to just out of nowhere to call you out like that in the middle, it's a great feeling. So I definitely appreciate that.
Sure. You probably had this moment of like, wait, is it over? Did I dream this or is it really over?
You guys, I mean, like I said, having that team, having, you know, the whole team, you guys cheered me on from the difficult assignments when I had those major exams. You guys, you know, you would write stuff on my wall. You would always send me text messages. The day that I defended, you know, you guys would send me messages. You gave me shout outs. I mean, there are flowers. I think there's champagne. I think there's balloons. You know, all kinds of someone. I think Jeremy changed my name tag. Yes,
right away.
So, I think someone else drew the DR on it first. So it is, it definitely, it's a wonderful feeling. I think it's really, it is really a wonderful feeling to have such an amazing work family. And, you know, I think it's really important to be in a place where, again, we're so cut off. Work is hard. Life is hard. Family is hard. Everything is hard. Your personal stuff is hard. But to be able to work with people that genuinely care about you and love you and support you through really difficult times and good times as well, and having family and friends that have that, it's something to not to forget. It's something that all of us should really be able to reflect and appreciate and be really grateful for, because I don't think everybody has that. In the leadership class, ethics and leadership class that I teach, you know, sometimes I think it goes, you know, when I talk about what is your why, what is your purpose, why do you do what you do? And, you know, some people will say, I do it for the money, and that's fine. I get that. But, you know, as you grow in your career, as you grow in the skill sets that you have, and you know that you can progress, we have the opportunity to, at some point within our careers, to decide, we want to stay, or do we want to pursue something else? And when you are at that point, really reflect on, it's not just what you do every day, but it's the people that you do it with, you know, and how important that really is to your mental and physical well-being within your organization. And for me, my work team is my work family. And that really is, I love what I do. I love what I do. I think I said it to you and many people that I found my dream job. And but I don't just love what I do because of the things that I do. It's the people around me that make difficult days fun and exciting. And, you know, and we get to have wine time and we get to have downtime together. And you know, when people are down, the entire team tries to support them. And when people are happy, the team celebrates. I mean, I think we cannot discount that when we look at our career paths, at our career opportunities. I think it's extremely important, and it's very meaningful to all of us. It's definitely meaningful to me.
Absolutely. You're such an inspiration to our students, but particularly I'll say the female students, because they can look at your example of, I mean, really, how many more balls could you have had in the air at the time? And the fact that you pushed through even difficult times and were able to finish your PhD successfully and still, you know, continue on with your work successfully, your family successfully, taking care of all these things. So really, I think it's a great example for our students, but our female students in particular, that that, you know, it is, you can be the busiest person in the world and it is possible. But I love that you say it takes a village, because so much of what we do really does take a village. And I have had to learn that you need to let the village help you, because I have been bad to say, no, this is my issue, I'm going to handle it on my own and kind of dive into myself. But that's not the right way to do it, right? So I love the village.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. No, I think it's important. Yeah.
It absolutely is. So throughout everything that you've done in your career so far, what are you most proud of?
Oh my goodness. What am I most proud of? Oh my gosh. You know, from a career, just overall, career?
I'll let you choose. You can choose your path. If you just want to do an overall, I will accept that answer.
Oh my goodness. I think that's really hard. What am I most proud of? Oh my gosh. I would say probably the most proud of is definitely the Oxford program and the international push, you know, within our MBA program. I think that opened up a broader discussion and a broader meaning, you know, of how important globalization and just understanding how to do business everywhere, you know, how to do business, period. I think that started a conversation, and it expanded so much beyond just the Oxford program. So I think that's probably professionally my most proud moment. Oh my gosh, personally, I'll say surviving the PhD. That's definitely, you know, yeah, I think from, you know, from a little feminine plug, I will say, you know, I'm not the person that says, you have a tiger, hear me roar, but it is definitely,
heck yeah.
Us women, we do a lot. We do a lot. And I think that we juggle a lot. And I think that there's still expectations, you know, from women to take care of the family, children, household, you know, everything. And not in any way to discount that our male counterparts don't have that. No, they have a lot of their stresses as well too. But you know, that desire to just keep going, you know, and yeah, I don't know. So that probably from my profession, the fact that I survived and didn't, you know, totally crumble in the corner, though, that was probably, you know, I probably did a couple of times there. Yeah, that's probably my most proud moment. I just wanted my kids to see that, you know what, things are hard, it's difficult, nothing is easy, but it's okay. It's not supposed to be easy. It would be boring if everything was easy. You know, there's always a tomorrow. You know, I tell my daughter, especially, there's always a tomorrow. Today could have been very difficult, but you know, we're going to close our eyes. And as long as we wake up in the morning, it's a brand new day and it's up to us of what we do with that day. And that helped me survive the PhD program. And I think that's probably my most proud moment.
I remember too, when you were about to graduate, and I think your daughter was 7 and maybe about to turn 8. And I was 7 years old when my dad graduated with his PhD. And I remember telling you, like, I don't even remember him being gone. And this was like before online classes, clearly this was the 80s. So, you know, he had to drive into Pitt every day and was gone for probably like, you know, years at a time that I didn't even notice. But I do remember, I don't remember him being gone, but I do remember his graduation and, you know, everything that came after that and just being so proud. So I love that your kids were able to experience that with you too.
Thank you. Yeah. The mother's guilt is definitely, that helped me when you share that with me, that definitely helped. Yeah. Mother's guilt always steps in and makes it feel much worse than it probably is. I'm glad that you share that. It definitely helped me not feel so bad about it.
Well, I know I have to wrap this up, although I could talk to you for the next 2 hours, but how I want to close out is I'm asking people, because obviously we're in just the craziest time right now and there's a whole lot going on and people are, you know, just having a hard time, obviously, right? We're all kind of adapting to a new normal. So what is bringing you joy during this time? And I will lead by telling you a few things that are bringing me joy, just so you don't feel as crazy, because, like there's this dog, this golden retriever Tucker that I follow now on Instagram. I've never been on social media, but now I'm following these golden retrievers that are cute. You know, like
that.
These live concerts that people are putting on via social media or whatever, like that's bringing me joy. Like I'm donating now to the Cincinnati Zoo. I've never had any connection to Cincinnati in my life, right? So what are you and your family doing during this time that's bringing you joy?
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So, so I discovered that apparently I have great passion and love for puzzles, which I know.
I ordered my first puzzle.
There you go. I love it. And now I have my own personal competition with myself to see how fast I can complete these, you know, between 150 to 300 or 500, whatever. So that's one of my passions. And by the way, you know, a cider of some sort has to be nearby as I'm completing these. You know what? Crazy shows like these new crazy shows, what is the Tiger King or whatever, that I would have probably never in the world watched.
Are you watching it? I have not
yet. We finished it. It was fantastic. I mean, it was very disturbing, but funny at the same time. And I have never, you know this person about me. I know nothing about celebrities. I don't follow celebrities. I'm not a celebrity person whatsoever. But I have discovered that they all post personal like messages on Instagram. Like they'll do whatever, you know, either live wine time or they'll do. I started the list. And you know who's on the top of my list? The Rock.
I was going to say, I have been at The Rock's tequila toast.
You went to Rock's tequila toast on Sunday. I was there.
I want Terramana for my birthday.
Oh, that's amazing. That, yes. I was like, Steve, we got to join them. It was the weirdest.
I was there with you.
Oh, there you go. Wonder. I'm so glad we were with The Rock together. Those things, you know, those, all of those things. People say, you know, my family, my husband travels, like, he's gone all the time, right? And this has really kind of been, I don't want to use the word blessing in disguise, because there's so many people that have been really, really physically hurt by, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, dealing with difficulties. But for me personally, I've really been able to appreciate, and again, our days are crazy still. We've got calls, we've got meetings, we have classes. So it's not like it's like kumbaya around, you know, whatever, living room floor, doing puzzles together. No, that's definitely not how our days are. But knowing that all four of us are in the same house, I can hear them, I can see them, I can touch them. We will, you know, we've never had this before, and I know that as soon as, you know, we're all able to go back to kind of our previous norm, right, they will all disappear. So I've appreciated that having small children, 8 and 6, knowing how fast they grow up, as you know, really appreciating spending some time with them. Maybe, you know, it's still not as much as physically probably could be possible, but just knowing that they're around me and having conversations with them has been really meaningful to me and special. So I've been trying to focus on that while everything else is really crazy too. You know?
Absolutely. And that's what I think everybody is trying to do right now, is just kind of focusing on the good and the positive. Because like you said, so many are suffering, and so many people, there's so many unknowns out there right now. So yeah. Yeah, we're just wishing the best for everyone going forward. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that everybody got to kind of get to know you a little bit better and hear your story and all that you do for the program. But one thing that I really know and just hear from you the most is how much you appreciate and support our students and how they will always come first. So thank you for being that person that will always put the students first and their success first. We are so lucky to have you on the team.
Oh, thank you.
So everybody at home, stay well, take care, and we'll catch you next time. But have a magical day.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.